Well, it's good to see you here today. I'm Rex August. I serve as one of the elders here at Finley Free and have the privilege of sharing from the Word of God with you today. We're going to ask God's blessing on His Word and ask our hearts to be open and attentive to what our Father has to say to us today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us this freedom to come and to gather together and to share Scripture, to be an encouragement, to if conviction is needed, and rebuke, exhortation, whatever it is, your word is good for all of it. So we pray that we know your word will not return void. It serves the purpose that you send it forth to do. We pray that you would speak to each of us today. You know what we need. Meet that need, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. We've been walking as a body of believers through Nehemiah, seeing the passion to get the wall and the city repaired, seeing the work that was done. We're looking at chapter 8 today, and we're going to read down, start off with the first 9 verses and back and do a little digging around. So let's look to Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll start at verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street, which was before the water gate, from morning till midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a pulpit made of wood, which was made for that purpose. And then beside him, and it lists the names of 13 men that were there, some on his right and left. And verse 5 says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people when he had opened it, and all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then the Bible says that those 13 men, along with Ezra and them, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. In verse 8, so they read the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which was the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and then the Levites taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. And we have Ezra here along with Nehemiah. Ezra had come out of Babylon about 13 years ahead of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was not the scholar, the scribe, or the priest as Ezra was, but a man that was passionately driven to see his city repaired. And we've been walking through that, seeing this project done, and he spearheaded up this project. Here in these first 9 verses, we learn some things. We hear the location of where they're at. They're in a wide street there in front of the water gate, able to handle the crowd of people that was there. We see the date that it happened is on the first day of the seventh month. That's the month of Tishri, which is in our September-October time frame. It's also the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the kickoff for that. And of course, we'll later on, they humbly observe that here in this book. We see the people asking for the law of God to be read, which I think is really important. The people asking. We see it read, it's expounded into the ears of the people to give them understanding. So through Ezra and through his assistants, we see the glorifying of God, the shouting amens from the people, the worshiping of God. One's because the people understood the word that was preached. This was information that was given to them being expounded so they understood what they heard and they worshiped God. And we also see that this went on for 5 to 6 hours. This wasn't a 15-minute or 35-minute sermon. 5 to 6 hours this went on. Now, maybe if we'd been in captivity, it'd be sad if it takes this. Our city was destroyed and we spent time to rebuild it. Maybe then we'd put up with a 5-hour, 6-hour sermon and praising. But they did, and they were rejoicing, and they were weeping that a strong emphasis on the Word of God is a sure sign of people hungry for what God has to say, a desire for growth and spiritual renewal. Do we have a hunger for the Word of God? And that's going to be a little bit bigger than this two-hour segment on Sunday, if you truly have a hunger for the Word of God. There's been evil leaders through the years, and Israel has been up and down and in and out every which way. They had Manasseh that was leading them, who was evil. His son Amon comes along, he was evil. Then we have Josiah, praise God, that God raised him up. He began to seek the Lord at 16 years of age. Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest was there. He found a copy of the Word of God, of the Word of the Law, and he read it before the people. And there was repentance, and there's rejoicing. Isn't it amazing what the Word of God does? There is a direct connection between the actions of people and the amount of Scripture that they hear. Direct connection, whether it's a person, a church, a nation, a direct connection between the amount of Scripture to how the people act. Do we have a desire and a reverence for the Word of God? It was a time in history when the Roman Catholic Church had the only Scriptures, basically. They didn't have it all, but it was held up by them. It wasn't given to the people. Misled them through penance, worshiping of Mary, through worshiping of saints and worshiping of relics and little items and stuff. And then God raised up some people. It was Huss. You can look these guys up in history. Ridley, Latimer, Tyndale, Wycliffe, Luther, guys that put the Bible into a language the people could read. That's when the Reformation came, because people could read the Word of God. There was a hunger for it, but if you don't have access to it, you can be hungry for something. Don't matter how hungry you are, if there's no food in your house, you're still hungry. So this is now the people were able to feed. They were able to get the Word of God, and revival breaks out. And you see a reverence for the Scripture. You see a reverence for God, obedience to God, serving of God. All this comes through the knowledge of the Scripture and being exposed to the Scripture. Our nation today is reaping what happens when you reject the Word of God. Churches today are reaping what happens when they reject the Word of God. Many places are meeting today around the world that are religious gatherings. They're ceremonial gatherings. They're not Bible feeding gatherings. They're denying the only Christ that came to save them. The Bible says that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. But that's what God says, and that's the truth. What happens when God's Word is ignored? Has anybody watched TV in the last 30, 60 days? That's what happens when God's Word is ignored. Exactly what we see on our television. When you abandon absolutes, there's only one source for absolutes, and that's God, because He is absolute in authority. He's it. When you abandon an absolute, then you abandon His power, you abandon His authority. You're walking away from things, the only guidelines and anything we have to keep us in order. He's a God of law, the God of order. When we deny this and we cast it off, what happens is people do what's right in their own eyes. And people develop their own truth. And you'll hear this a lot, that people have their truth. I believe this way. Well, that's your truth. My truth is this. Because we've altered what truth really is. Jesus Christ told us what it was, and He defined Himself as it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. So either Jesus Christ is quite a liar, or He's speaking an absolute truth. Because He doesn't say, find your way to God. He says, I'm the way to God. He didn't say He's one of many ways to God. He says, I am the way to God. There's one way. We need the Scriptures, and that's an absolute. When you cast these things off, and cast absolutes off, that's why the Bible is under attack. Satan doesn't like absolutes. He doesn't want us to like absolutes. He doesn't want two and two to be four. He wants outcome-based education that kids can make up their own mind what the answer should be. They want us, just come up with your own reason, come up with your own conclusion. Follow your heart. Just do what you want to do. And God says, follow Me. Follow My word. He wants to take us in under his wings and take care of us. Well, people have their own truth, but this did not happen overnight. What we see taking place in our country isn't a result of COVID or a result of 2019. It's a result of the church falling asleep. It's a result of 1962 and 1963 when prayer and Bible get taken out of the public school. Something I failed to mention in the first service is, you know how smart the devil is. He's pretty smart. There's only one institution in all of America that you have to attend. Everybody, the entire populace has to attend it. That's school. And that's where he attacked, so he could brainwash every kid while we stood back and slept through it all. Then he attacked the universities to brainwash. Don't teach them the Word of God, teach them humanism. Teach them they're the source of power and strength, and they can find their own way. Abandoning the Bible. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, if you'd turn there, I want you to see it with your eyes too. The scripture says in Amos 8, 11 and 12, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God." Now God is speaking. He said, this day is going to come, "that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it." He said, I will send a famine, but it won't be food or water. It's going to be a famine of the word of God. You don't want my word? He says, I'll send a famine. This is the worst judgment any person can face this side of hell, is no access to the Word of God. Because that is the guiding light, is the exposing you to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, it's what guides you through your life. There's nothing worse that can happen to a person or a nation this side of hell than not have the Word of God, and Satan knows it. And God says, listen, you don't want me? I'll pull back. You want to kick me out? You can have your own way. Erosion is a very slow process most times. Satan comes in that way. He does not come in like a tsunami. If you watch that, what happened to Japan here a few years back with that tsunami, their landscape was changed in one day. It was extremely noticeable. Cars and buildings floating around, everything was changed. You say, well, I could see that. But you live, if you're a person that lives by a body of water, you live by the ocean or a river, you go out every day in and out, you may not see the erosion because you're there every day living in it. It's slowly going away, but you don't sense it. You have a relative that was gone for 15, 20 years. They come back to visit and they're saying, whoa, what happened to the beach or what happened to this? Because they can see it. If we're a part of this world, acting like this world, we're not going to sense and know the erosion that's taking place in our culture. We have to stay disconnected from that as far as being involved in it, living and acting like it, and be glued to the Word of God. You want to see erosion? You got to look at God first. Then you can see what's taking place in our culture. You want to live like the world, you won't even know it. You'll just blend in with them for lack of the Word of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, what I like is the people said. It said, all the people, they gathered themselves together as one man to the street before the water gate. They spake to Ezra the scribe and said, bring us the Word of God. Bring us the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded or given or constituted to Israel. Bring this word, not the words of any philosopher, the words of someone of high intellect. We want something that's going to get us through a very tough time. We've been away from our city. The walls are being repaired. The city's things are getting done. We want to hear from God. We want to hear. Do you want to hear from God? What will it take for us to have this burning desire to hear from God? What will it take? Hopefully nothing like this here. The book of divine authority is what we need. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Paul says to Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to the reading and exhortation of doctrine. Stay in the Word of God. Be an example, and to be an example, you got to stay into the Word of God. Stay connected to the source of all strength and power and authority. We need to be connected to the written Word of God. In Psalm 119, if you've read it, you should have noticed something. One, it's long. 176 verses. Secondly, 171 of those verses mention the Scriptures, either through Scripture or statutes, testimonies, Word of God. 7 times it directly connects the Word of God with revival. We're not going to have a revival apart from the Word of God. We're not going to have a successful life in this world, especially in God's eyes, apart from the Word of God. We need Him. Jesus Christ told His disciples to their face, "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing of eternal value, nothing great. Yeah, you might be able to put your shoes on to hold a job, but without me, you can't do anything for the kingdom of God, because it's His power and His source. We won't live an effective, powerful Christian life if we're not connected to the Lord. So we have ears to hear, let us hear. That's what Jesus Christ told them in Matthew chapter 4. Do you have ears today? I hope you do. Hear. In Luke, He tells them, take heed, therefore, how you hear. In other words, be attentive. Pay attention when the Scriptures are being read. Listen. Does anybody know you can hear without listening? Anybody married in here? I figured I'd get a lot of amens. Anybody got teenagers in here? You can talk, and anybody got a TV set in your home and there's a football game on? My wife knows, don't even bother to talk if football's on. Makes it sound like football is more important than her, doesn't it? But we can get distracted. We can hear without listening. And God says, take heed how you hear. Be attentive to what's reading. When these people in Nehemiah 8 said, bring the Word of God to us, that means we want to be fed. It wasn't, oh man, it's Sunday. I hope the preacher's quick today. We can get that way. We can get that way. We got to maintain a reverence for the Word of God. And I want you to understand something right here. I don't care who's standing here. If they're reading this book, that is God talking to you. That's what that is. If this book is being read, it can be read by a 10-year-old. God is talking. This is God's Word. So take heed how we hear. Say, no, God's talking. Do we really reverence our God? When His Word is being read, are we bored? God is talking to us. That's why He gave us His Word. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Let's give an example that maybe will help us understand. You have a very rich relative that you are very close to. They die. You're going to go to see a lawyer for the reading of this man's will. When you go there, are you like mad that you have to go there? Oh, they're going to read my rich relative's will, and I was his favorite. Are you going to be wishing you were somewhere else? Will you be daydreaming? Will it be, I wish one of my kids had a ball game today, I'd have an excuse to miss? Would we come up with excuses? Would we be concerned with the lawyer's tone of voice or his delivery? Or would we be interested in the content of the will? We get all wound up, the preacher better do this, he better do this, and he didn't tickle my ears today, was he reading this? Are you interested in the content of the will of God, or are you interested in being entertained? If you want to be entertained, you're shallow right now and you're moving away from God. If you're like the ones in Nehemiah 8 that's had an absence from Scripture and gathering together, you say, feed me the Word of God. We're going to want this book. It won't matter who's up here talking. What's going to matter is, are they reading from the Scriptures? Is God speaking? See, it really changes things when we get this into perspective. All of a sudden, it's like, I want the Word of God. Oh, this one's preaching today. I'm staying home. It's the content of the will that matters. Now, there's preachers that don't preach from the content of the will. I understand that, and that's turn away from that. But if the Word of God is being rightly divided, listen. You say, well, the preacher didn't make me laugh, and I've heard people judge a preacher on how much they laugh. Oh, the sermon was great. We laughed our heads off in there. Do you realize there's a war outside these walls with unsaved people that Satan has got them blinded? You want to come in here and laugh to go out there and face a battle? Or do you want to come in here and get equipped so we can go out there and face a battle? We need the Word of God. Yeah, it's okay to laugh, but that's not what we come here for. We need the Word of God. Our nation is kicking at it and shoving it off, and we as the church have got to maintain it. We've got to share it with people. You know, this COVID took place, and it separated us for a few months, and it was nice to get back together. It's going to be nice when all these chairs are fitly joined together, kind of like the body of Christ all fitly joined together. I was telling Pastor out in the lobby earlier this morning, I thought about a POW. Maybe it's, imagine being in a foreign land in a prison somewhere for 15 years. 4th of July comes around, you're an American vet, you've given your life for your country, it's time you're in prison. You're not going to pull a flag out and wave it, they'll probably kill you. You'll celebrate it internal. Imagine being that vet, and after 15 years, you get freed. You land on our soil the beginning of July, and this is your first July 4th since you've been free. You're going to be excited. You're going to want to celebrate, and you're going to wonder, what's up with these people that they don't even care? I watched a thing, it was last year, on a guy that went to college campuses to ask him, what does the 4th of July about? It is shocking that these are American kids. They didn't go to a foreign country. He went to universities in our land. I said, well, I think it's for food and beer and parties. A lot of them. Some of them said, it was a war. It might have been the Civil War. Some thought World War I. A few knew it was actually what it was about. We've got a nation that, one, is uneducated in our own history, but even worse than that, they're uneducated in true history that we get from the Word of God. They're disconnected from this book. They don't know it. And we wonder, why do they act like they do? Why do things go on out in the streets the way they do? Why do things happen in our school system the way it does? Because we haven't took charge. We've disconnected ourselves from the divine authority. We must be in the Word of God. We must. It is crucial to our country, to our families, to us individually, that we stay in the Word of God. If America would get a strong emphasis on the Word of God, it would come back. When America lost that strong emphasis on the Bible and on the Word of God, and I'll tell you, our founding fathers had it. There's scripture on all of our old monuments. They deny we had a Christian heritage, but you can't deny it if you go around and read anything. It's there. Our state models, most of them reference God. It used to be you couldn't add a law to the books unless you could back it up with this. They came out of oppression. They came out of tyranny. And they wanted to worship God free. And they wanted a free country to do it in. If our nation, and it has in many ways, lost its emphasis on the scriptures, you know what goes next? You lose emphasis on God. Because you can't serve God apart from his scripture. We're not going to know him. We're not going to know how to rightly serve him. We're not going to know how to live. This is the book of that guides our lives. That's why the people in Nehemiah, they said, read us. We want to know. We've been away. What has God said to us? And we need to know what he says. No person or nation or family can turn its back on the Word of God and have peace, order, self-control. You won't even have freedom. Apart from God, there is none. God is peace. We've all sinned and come short of His glory. You say, what is sin? That's real easy. Anything that's not God. You say, is that that simple? God's perfect. He's the benchmark, the standard for what's righteous. Anything short of Him is sin. Anything short of being exactly like God is going to be sin. It's going to be less than Him. Sin isn't determined by what God thought was right or wrong. Sin is determined by anything that's against His nature. This is not the nature of God, it's sin. God's perfect. You say, to get into His kingdom, what do you got to be like? You got to be like Him. Well, I can't do that. I can't be like God. And you can't either. And we're in big trouble. But we read the Word of God and we find out His Son left heaven's glory to come here to be spat on, mocked, beaten, and crucified. And He wasn't killed against His will. He told His disciples, nobody is going to take my life from me. I am going to lay it down on my own. And I have the authority from God to take it up again. This is what Jesus Christ did for us. And we find this through the Scriptures. So when He died in our place, was buried and rose from again, this victory now He gives to us if we ask Him for it. If we repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ, now we can enter God's kingdom, not because we're perfect, but because we've been declared perfect because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we've accepted that into our life as payment for our sin and our shortcoming, and our faith is completely and our trust in Jesus Christ. That's what we find through the Word of God. And a nation that turns its back on that is in trouble. When a nation turns its back on God, they're turning their back on authority. That means if I'm not going to listen to God, I'm not going to listen to my parents, I'm not going to listen to the sheriff, I'm not going to listen to any law in this land. Why do we have total disorder in our country? We've left God. It took a while. We could reject God 70 years ago in our schools, or 60 years ago, and we wonder why kids have no respect for authority, because the absolute foundation from authority has been kept from them. Now the home, that's our place. We should have been doing our job. It's not the school's place to raise our kids, but it's nice when the school would say the same thing. Parents, do our kids know that we have a love for the Word of God? Or are we like, I hope the sermon is quick. Wish there was a way I could get out of going to church. What goes through our mind? Reasons to not be here? It should be a joy to be gathered with believers. I think Pastor would really like it if we come in here and said, man, give us the Word of God. Give us the Word of God. Just preach like the people in Nehemiah. Give us the Word of God. You look at Nehemiah chapter 8. They weren't asking for something of man. In Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse 1, he says, give us the law of Moses that the Lord gave to us. He commanded to us. He gave us this word. Give us that law. Give us that word. Read us from this absolute truth. We need to hear. And the people heard, and the people went on to listen and to praise God. And then to go on to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, to get their branches and make these little humble huts to go in and to spend time and be humble before the Lord. They wanted to be connected with their God. We can't expect anything inside our homes to work if we shut the power off. Maybe you can. If you go home today, you know it's supposed to be in the 90s. How many have air conditioning? Yeah. Go home, go flip the main breaker on your fuse panel and say, I really don't need this. And then go upstairs and think your air conditioning is going to work, the refrigerator is going to stay cold, the freezer is going to be fine, the TV will come on. You say, that's really stupid. And that's how stupid you and I are if we think we can live a life for Jesus Christ without the Word of God. We're really that dumb. You say, oh, I can go in my life, I can live my own way, and I'll be just fine. You're a fool. We need the Word of God. We must have the Word of God. We will not live for Him without knowing about Him and knowing what He has for us, what He tells us to do. You know, with that rich lawyer, you'd probably like to have a copy of that will yourself, or that rich relative. Wouldn't you want a copy? We have a relative far richer than any earthly relative we could ever have. Jesus Christ said, see, my brothers and my sisters, those that follow Him and serve Him is family. That lawyer read a will of a rich relative to people. It was a story. We have a very rich relative here, Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. This is His will. We come here to hear a reading of the will. Did you bring your copy? No, it'd be nice to know, too, if the lawyer's reading it straight and reading it right. Bring a copy of the will of God. Follow along, because I'll tell you something. You're going to learn a lot when your eyes also see those words. Hearing it, yes. Seeing it's even better. And then go home and study it again for yourself. Look into this perfect law of liberty and live for Him. Humble ourselves before God. Say, God, you know, without you, I can't do anything. I need you. Don't disconnect yourself from power and authority and expect to have a successful life. It can't. In Nehemiah's day, they wanted the law read. They read it for 5 or 6 hours. The people stood, the people worshiped, the people cried. They lifted their hands. They wanted to hear. I hope our desire for us is, you know what, I want to hear the Word of God. I hope your desire in your home is that we want to study the Word of God. Study it every day. Get up and read it. There's nothing better to read. Honestly, the TV can be extremely depressing. The news cycle's been the same for months. If you watched it 2 months ago, it's still the same thing. Honestly, read this. Because honestly, the TV makes me mad what I see. And it's discouraging. But it also drives us to our knees. Because those people that are out there burning down buildings and tearing up stuff are souls that Jesus died for. They've been blinded by Satan. What's sad is they're instruments in His hand and they don't even know it. When God's done with us, He takes us to His kingdom. When Satan's done with somebody, He just throws them off, casts them off as used garbage. These people need to hear about Jesus Christ. The trouble in our streets is the lack of this word right here. That's why we have trouble in our country. That's why we have trouble in our homes. That's why there's divorce. That's why husbands and wives aren't following the scriptures. Home lives ain't normal. Lack of this. Kids don't obey their parents. Lack of this. Kids are unruly and running around. Lack of this. We need the Word of God, people. They cried out for it in Nehemiah's day. Let's cry out for it in our day. Say, God, teach me. He'll teach you here. He'll teach you at home. Look to Him. Look to God. Father, I want to thank You for Your precious word. We can't disconnect from You and live a successful Christian life. Lord, there might be some people here that don't even know You as Lord and Savior today. I'm asking that You would continue the work in their hearts to show them Your love for them, that You died for them, that You said it is finished on the cross, You paid their sin debt. And if they would humbly repent and put their faith in You, You would forgive them, redeem them, and they would be born again, be a part of Your kingdom. Lord, for us, they're saved. If we've grown cold to the Word of God, we've been more concerned with being entertained than the content of the will. Convict our hearts, Lord, and renew our passion for the Scriptures and for the stuff going on in our city, Lord, and around our world. Sin flaunts itself because we've walked away from your Holy Scripture. We're alienating ourselves from you. We're heading towards a famine of the Holy Scriptures, the worst thing that can happen to a country. So, Father, do a work here. Finish the work you've begun. And thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.